Well, whether you're preparing for a spring vacation or maybe you're just taking a stroll around the neighborhood, it's kind of exciting, I think, to explore the world through a camera lens. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Really pleased to have back photography instructor Jack Socha with more tips on how to get the most out of your digital camera. He's the author of How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought. And I hope you'll join in with your questions or comments, or maybe your photos. I know we already have a few wonderful wildlife photos posted. The place to go for posting and for questions at our Facebook page is just The Larry Mueller Show. So just type in The Larry Mueller Show. You can don't have to be a member of Facebook. You can go there at least and look and see what others have posted. And you can post your own questions or comments if you'd like. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. Or phone. Love to have you phone in at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions and comments. And Jack Socha, welcome back.
Well, thank you so much for having me back on. I sure appreciate the opportunity.
Well, it's a lot of fun. And every time, there's always, there's never a shortage of questions.
No, there never is. And I'll tell you, right now, things are about as transitional and I would say confusing as I have ever seen. To quote allegedly Frank Zappa, the old saying, everything you know is wrong.
Yeah.
The terminology is changing. The styles of the cameras are changing. The features they offer are changing. And what you may have noticed even a couple of years ago doesn't apply today.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the digital SLR camera, as we know it, is really making a big change.
It is making a big change. I don't think a lot of people realize, but the SLR, the single lens reflex part of that term, refers to a mirror and some kind of a prism that is inside the camera that has to flip out of the way. They have been doing that since the 1930s. So it's been a very long haul. The original Exactas had flip-up mirrors. And what the manufacturers have been doing is they have been replacing this mirror box assembly, because it slows down burst shots and it's noisy, with basically a little eyepiece that you look into and you see a miniature high-resolution image, very similar to the one on the back of your camera, only inside an eyepiece. And this takes about 80% of the parts out of the camera. As it also is more reliability. At first, I was really objecting to this because I kind of like the optical image. But a photographer pointed out in a posting that you then see the picture that is going to be taken before you take it.
Yeah.
Where what you're seeing with your with the optical system is what your eye sees. And so you actually can see focus points, and you can, in some cases, see places where the highlights are going to be blown out. So it's inevitable. It's just going to be this way. I think in a few years, the whole idea of a mirror flipping up is going to be relegated to a dustbin.
Well, I tell you what, I've got a friend who, with her camera, has put the sound back in. Because she couldn't tell when she was taking the picture. So,
yeah.
So there's a little sound effect that'll go, you know, the click of a camera.
Yeah. Yeah, and the first thing that I do when I get a camera, a new camera, I turn off all the sound, you know, because the sound of the film winding is the one that cracks me up. I mean, in 2 years, people are going to go, what is that noise? What does it do anything? You know, what is that? But the industry now, though, and this is mostly the public relations marketing people, have adopted the term mirrorless camera, like it's something new.
Yeah.
And I pointed out a couple of times that with the exception of single lens reflex digital cameras, every camera made in the past 15 years has been mirrorless.
Well, yeah, essentially. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just saying, but now they're using it as a selling point. And the funny thing that's going to happen is when you take the pentaprism and the flip-up mirror out of the camera, you no longer need that little hump on top of the camera.
Yeah.
So the distinctive design of the SLR that we grew up with in a few years may be completely gone. I see there's one little Nikon compact mirrorless camera, removable lens, and it has the screen on the back and a little pop-up flash on one side and a pop-up electronic viewfinder on the other when you want to use that. And I must admit, that's pretty attractive to me.
Yeah. Well, all the changes that are going on, how is this going to affect our picture taking? Is it going to be easier to maybe for low light pictures, maybe, or something?
Well, you know, everything, the ISOs keep getting higher and higher. And so eventually pictures that you could not take with a point-and-shoot camera or even a fixed lens, you know, glorified point-and-shoot, you'll be able to take. I mean, we've been talking for years now, people calling in saying, how come I can't get shots in the gymnasium of my kid or my grandkid?
Yeah.
And the reason was the physics of it. The lens aperture was just not big enough. The apertures are not going to get bigger because they cost too much. But the ISO, the sensitivity of the camera, is increasing so much that pretty soon, if you have a 5.6 lens, you will be able to do it.
It's amazing. And
yeah.
And you think the SLR, that name, is going to be gone eventually?
I think it's just going to be called mirrorless.
Mirrorless.
Probably interchangeable lens mirrorless. I don't really know. They now call the compact cameras that have removable lenses ILCs, interchangeable lens compact. The only thing I don't like about those is that you really only have the screen on the back. And frankly, I picked up another camera, a Nikon Coolpix L110. It was used on sale just to see what it was like. And it's a nice camera. It had a big zoom range, 15x optical zoom. It looks like an SLR, but there is absolutely nothing on the back except the screen. And outside, you can't see what you're doing.
Yeah, that's
so. I really recommend that you get a dual screen camera if you're going to be shooting outdoors a lot, because if you can't compose the picture, you're done. You know, it's good luck. It really is point and shoot.
Carolyn Hayward has a question for you. Let's go to her. Hi, Carol. Thank you for calling.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to know, what is the difference between taking a picture with a digital camera compared to a cell phone? Is it the lenses or,
The gap, you know, that's a funny thing. We just had I kind of lurk on a Facebook site called Photography for Beginners, and someone just asked that. They said, is a person who shoots with a cell phone really a photographer? And, of course, you know, when you got 12,000 people in a group, there's a debate that begins immediately. Mm-hmm. But really, the cell phone image quality is getting better to the point where you can take some very, very good pictures with autofocus and a decent lens. And we're in this area of transition. I mean, 10 years from now, we may never have a dedicated camera again. We may have it built into something else. So I guess the answer really is, if you like the pictures it takes, if it does what you want it to do and you're happy, there's no problem.
Yeah. And I have to tell you, Carol, I was going through this week's Sports Illustrated magazine, and they had a full-page photo and very crisp of Jordan Spieth, who won the Masters golf tournament, and the it was an ad, and the cut line under it was, this was taken with a phone.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was really good.
Yeah, and the iPhones have gotten much better than they did originally, and also the Android tablets now have pretty good deals in them. The only reason they didn't build better ones in there, I don't think they thought there was the demand for them. But there's no technical reason why they can't put a 20-megapixel sensor in a phone.
No, no reason. Thanks, Carol.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate the call. Joe in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Joe.
Hey, yeah. Question about white balance. I've got a Galaxy Note 4, and I downloaded this. Let me start by saying the original camera app has a white balance feature.
Okay.
You want to know what it is?
Question about that. And then I downloaded an app. It's like it simulates a DSLR camera. It's called FD5 something or other. And was wondering exactly how this app would go about simulating.
Oh yeah, I have not seen that app, but it probably just gives you some controls that look like you've seen on a digital on SLR, you know, shutter speed, lens opening, and things like that. I doubt if it's a whole lot more than that, but I could be wrong on that. But white balance is a very interesting thing that a lot of beginners completely forget about. This is a legacy item, began with camcorders. Because back in the old days when we had film, if you took pictures indoors with outdoor film, it came out orange because the light bulbs we had back then, tungsten light bulbs, came out orange on film. And so electronic cameras, you couldn't put a filter on the front, so they adjusted it electronically by injecting other colors. Well, this is what digital cameras do. They have the automatic white balance. It tries to make the picture look like a Kodak moment. And the trouble is that there are situations where you've got multiple light sources, and sometimes you have to take it off automatic and pick one of the others, tungsten, fluorescent, daylight, or whatever they happen to have. What I'm finding in some of the beginner groups is people are putting color filters on their digital cameras and leaving the automatic white balance on, which, of course, defeats the purpose because it tries to correct for it. So you have to set the camera for daylight so the camera thinks it's shooting in daylight if you're going to use some kind of funny color filter.
Question about the app. What kind of settings would you recommend to leave as, like, the general? I know that there's an automatic setting.
What we're recommending, you know, Bob Metcalf and I are teaching classes in lacrosse now, and we had quite a discussion about this. I was always talking about resolution being the first thing to talk about. He is really adamant that you need to understand the relationship between the lens opening, the sensitivity of the camera or the tablet or whatever, and how it affects the shutter speed. Those are three things that are linked together. And once you understand that, then everything else tends to fall into place. You can understand that if you slow down the shutter speed, you may have to use a smaller lens opening and things like that. So really, you need to go look at any. There's tons of things on YouTube now, for example, that explain exposure, and just get a real firm grasp of what that is. And then those controls on that app will make a lot more sense.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate your call, Joe. Should mention that your book, I was taking a look at your book this morning I was taking a look at it, How to Use a Digital Camera You Just Bought, and that's another, obviously, a good source of information for people who, you know, want to know more about their camera.
Yeah, the book is really pretty comprehensive, and I got a very nice, beautiful review from a regular, maybe one of your listeners, I'm not sure, on Amazon, where it's available, where he said that at points in reading it, you forget you're reading a manual, that you're getting a little history about the stuff, you're learning the why things are the way they are. And I'm going to have to suggest that book as being a good choice because I wrote it. but it's also based on years of teaching it and getting questions from people. You can look at a sample of it. If you go to my website, which is kind of a very modest site, acpress.com, you can download the table of contents, the introduction, some of the sample pages, just to give you an idea of what it covers. And it is really designed to be pretty comprehensive. Although I must tell you that I am getting feedback from beginners who really want to learn less. They really want just the absolute basics. And so we may come out with an audio book or something that is a companion to that book for people who don't really either have time or they don't have that much interest. But this book is for people who really want to understand what's going on. And we had requests for a series of laminated cards they can stick in their camera bag. So my wife, who does layout work, we're looking into that one. I said, honey, that's a department. You don't want to see me lay that out. If I could put a quick plug in, this is a free thing, and we don't get paid for this. Saturday the 25th, if you happen to be in the western Wisconsin area, every year or two we do a whole camera thing. We use the facilities at the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and it's totally free. Beginners, advanced, Bob Metcalf is a working pro in lacrosse, and we frequently will break up into different groups, but it's a 10 o'clock to about 2 o'clock in the afternoon thing, and there's no charge for it. There's no charge whatsoever. We do put a little mention in, just out of courtesy, that we do a little short bit on how to not be a real idiot at weddings.
Ah.
You know, I mean, right now, people, they're crawling all over the pews, and they're just, you know, things like that. So we have a little bit of, and also some tips on better wedding photos and stuff like that. But the main thing is just to get you up and running with your camera. There's plenty of things to photograph right there at the shrine. You can wander around. But it's just a nice day. We've had at least 60 people at these in the past. And you can call the shrine, or you can drop me a note if you want to. We don't take reservations, but we like to get an idea who's coming. So if you think you're going to come to it, you could drop me a note at editor@acpress.com, and I would forward that to the shrine, let them know to put that in the folder that you're coming. And it's free. Saturday, the 25th. Hopefully it'll be a delightful day, and we have a lot of fun.
Oh, it sounds like a lot of fun. Jack Socha, our guest, photography instructor, author of How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought, for which there's now a second edition. I'm Larry Mueller. Cynthia Schuster, our on-air producer today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Taking a look at digital photos today and how you can take the best digital photos that you possibly can with our guest, Jack Socha, who is a photography instructor and author of How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought, now in its second edition. You can join in. I have open lines for you at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or post a question and or photos on our Facebook page, and the Facebook page title is The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And speaking of Facebook, William posted a few eagle pictures, lovely pictures on Facebook. And he writes, I chose a day with strong light, and the eaglets were approximately a quarter mile away. I used a tripod, a low ISO, and a remote to activate the shutter, plus a 300 millimeter lens, and really nice photos.
Yeah.
What kind of sharpness quality can I expect from shooting at that distance? Would a quality lens make a difference?
You know, what I'm finding is that especially on these so-called bridge cameras, I think there's a new Samsung one out that has an insanely long range built into it with 600 millimeters. And most of these things now have some kind of image stabilization going on. So you are obviously, if you're a working pro and you want to spend a couple thousand dollars for a lens, you probably will get better results. But even with some of these relatively modest priced cameras, they're not bad. And also, if they've got like 20 megapixels resolution, which is way more than we had a few years ago,
yep,
you can crop away and get a closer image and not lose too much quality. The biggest problem that we're having with a lot of folks who don't understand the need to understand exposure is that when these lenses zoom way, way out to telephoto, they're frequently down to like f8 or f11, and that means that you've got to be in pretty bright light or have a pretty high ISO in order to get a shutter speed that doesn't shake. I look at some of the one-star reviews on Amazon of people who are not happy with their cameras, and the minute you see them saying, these pictures are blurry, you know they have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because they can't tell camera shake from subject movement, they just don't understand why it's not magic and it isn't working. And seriously, you have to understand a little bit about lenses and a little bit about how exposure works, even if you're on fully automatic, so you know the limitations of what the camera can do.
Yep.
And that's why it's really important to learn that stuff.
Very good points. Ray in Oshkosh, up next with a question. Hi, Ray.
Hi. I was just wondering as to how important is it to update your camera? Currently, I have an Olympus PN1. That was my first question. And then my second question is, I use my camera as a point of reference to paint off, and when I take pictures, I like my subject to be as candid as possible, so I really don't want them to notice that I'm taking a picture. So what I tend to do is I literally shoot from the hip, and I was wondering what would be the best camera to do that with in terms of, because I need it at a high shutter speed. So I was just wondering as to what the best camera would be for that sort of situation if your guests do that. And I can take my answer off here. Thank you.
Okay. Two good questions. The first one is, I think he's asking, when is it time to replace your camera?
Yeah.
It only when it no longer does something that you want it to do. You know, I mean, if you're happy with a 12-megapixel camera or an 8-megapixel camera and it's working fine for you, until such time as you need a longer lens or a wider view or one of those things, there's no reason to change it out, just none whatsoever. I have there's a market now for several year-old cameras that are dirt cheap. And I just wonder sometimes why people are just giving them up. So that's the first part. Shooting from the hip, that's an old street photographer thing. And usually a camera with a slightly wider lens is favored. You could get by with a point-and-shoot. It would be nice if you had a camera that you could switch over to manual exposure so that you could preset the thing to a particular manual focus, etc. I would say not manual exposure, but manual focus. You could preset it for a certain distance so it wouldn't be making, wouldn't be zooming in and out trying to establish a focus. I can't tell you which particular brand. I mean, there's some gorgeous Fujis that have a beautiful lens on them, but they're, you know, up there in the $1,200 range that I would personally love to have. There's a Panasonic Lumix that just came out that has a very beautiful lens, and it's got one of those high-end electronic viewfinders, and is set up kind of like a Leica with dials you could look at from the top deck, and perfect for that kind of photography. They have a list price of around $899, and if that is your passion, that might be a real good choice right there.
Well,
with my first question is more so, like, there's an option to, like, download updates for it.
Oh, firmware updates. Yeah, that's something that most people are not aware of and are a little bit scared of, because you kind of got to know your way around a computer. Many cases, you can check on the website of your manufacturer, and there will be something called a firmware upgrade that upgrades the software inside the camera. And it involves you copying it onto an SD card that's totally blank, putting it in the camera, and then usually turning on the camera and sometimes pressing a couple of peculiar buttons you wouldn't normally press, and making sure your battery is fully charged or it's plugged into an outlet. I always find it very nervous to do, but at the same time, it generally can really change the quality of the camera. It won't improve the resolution, but it'll improve the focusing accuracy, the white balance, various tweaks that they do. So, yeah, if you can do that, but just make sure that you understand files management and you understand where files go and things like that, because it is possible if if the camera turns off or battery dies in the middle of it, that you can mess the camera up.
There you go.
Cool. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks for calling, Ray. We had an emailer wondering how to find your book. Is it a digital book, or is it something we can pick up at a bookstore, or where do we get it?
Right now, there's only two places you can get it. You can get it directly from me. I mean, just go to acpress.com. You can order it right there on the press thing. You can also get it from Amazon if you prefer to do that. What they'll do is they'll notify me, and I'll mail it to you. So either way, I just wouldn't have you just go to acpress.com, and you can use credit cards and PayPal and all that good stuff. And seriously, one of us will be sitting here putting them in the bag. I mean, you'll be getting it directly from the author. When we do electronic versions, which we may do in the future, or an audiobook version, we have a system we're working on now where you could download it directly into your into one of your MP3 players or whatever the case may be. But right now, you just contact me, and if you're not comfortable using online stuff, we have a toll-free number listed there as well. You can call, and you may have to leave a message, but we'd call you back and get your credit card info, and also we can tell you how to mail us a check. It's all there on the website. We'd just be happy to take care of you.
And again, the website is?
acpress.com, acpress.com.
And I'm sure we have a link on my Facebook, on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show as well. So if you're on our Facebook page, take a look, and you're going to find it right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Susie, go ahead.
I was going to say, I got a little toy device that I think some of your listeners would love to have. There's a company called Nabi, N-A-B-I. They normally make kids' tablets, but they have a little kid-priced GoPro-type thing called the Nabi HD, Nabi Square HD. It's like $59 online.
Mm-hmm.
175-degree angle fisheye lens. And 8 megapixels, and it takes stills and videos, has a remote control, plus a whole bunch of housings, which I have not used, and an underwater housing, which I'm afraid to use. But for those of you who get the fisheye bug, and every once in a while I do, this is $59.95.
Yeah.
And frankly, it takes about the same quality picture as my old Nikkor 8mm fisheye did years ago, and that required a special camera to use it. So if you're doing interiors, if you're in real estate, and you want to make the kitchen look really big, it's really very high quality. I was shocked when I saw it. I was shocked, and I'm having so much fun with it, just walking around town taking fisheye pictures.
Nabi, N-A-B-I.
N-A-B-I. It's normally a kid's product. They sell all kinds of kids' tablets, but this thing kind of slipped under the radar, and frankly, they should be selling it as a camera for adults. It's really cool.
Very cool. Susie in Watertown, it's your turn. Hi, Susie.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I actually have Adobe Photoshop, the full version, but I haven't had the time for the learning curve yet. So I was using a Microsoft product called PictureIt, which is not compatible anymore with Windows 8. Can you suggest something that can do the quick and dirty photo editing?
Have I got a deal for you?
Yes.
And this is probably the most popular page on my website. If you go to acpress.com and find your way to articles, there's an article there on, it's now 6 free image editing programs for Windows. They're all totally free. I have links to the actual people who make them. And I use them all the time. One of my favorites is called Photo. Pardon me?
Which one do you prefer and why?
Well, I use all of them. I use Photo Filter. It's done by a French guy who's a graphic artist, and it's got some real nice, easy-to-use stuff. But there's descriptions of each one, and they're all free. And just try them out. One of them lets you beautifully crop pictures because it first asks you what size are you planning on printing. They're just nice. Other ones, you can add captions to photos, little thought bubbles above heads. You can add glows. Every single one of them is free. And also, there's now 6 of them because, believe it or not, an older version of Photoshop is now free. And I've got the link to it and the number to use to get the serial number. So for those of you who don't need the brand new latest and still want to play around with levels and dodging and burning. But these other ones I have used extensively. I do a lot of work for nonprofit organizations that cannot afford to buy expensive software. And I use these all the time. And just go to acpress.com, go to the articles, and you'll see it's right there.
You've made my day. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Thanks, Susie. Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling. Yeah, those are really
They really stood the test of time. I mean, I've got a brand new computer I just bought with Windows 8.1, and the first thing I stuck on it were some of these programs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because once you know how to use them, and there's a big thing. Again, on some of these discussion groups, you've got beginners coming in, and they're getting advice from people saying things like, only shoot manually, only shoot raw, only use Photoshop. And these people maybe are not at that level yet.
Yeah. Yep.
So they can learn the basics from these things, and later on they can get what they want.
Mark in Janesville. Hello. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. I'm one of the people who wants to learn less about this. I happened to come across a very unique opportunity. I took some video off my cell phone, and it was in New Orleans. It was a Mardi Gras Indian, which you don't get to see very often. And he was only like 3 feet from me. And I'm wondering how I can get that turned into a decent print.
There's several programs out there for watching video, and in some cases you can just basically hit a couple of keys and it'll freeze the frame. That's one way of doing it. I mean, I have a Chromebook here, and I hit, I think it's Control and a button, and it just grabs the frame. Now, how big a print are you planning on making out of it?
Oh, just like a 4x6 or something.
Oh, yeah. I would try that. I know that at least one of the free programs that is on the on that group I was just discussing has got a screen capture as well. But I think you could just do a screen capture even with your native operating system and probably be able to do that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate the call. We have open lines for you, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234. If you got a question for our guest today about cameras or shooting photos, Jack Socha here to help. Roger in Hudson wrote in to say, let's face it, many people are relying on iPhone for photos. These are my two favorite apps. Nightcap Pro for night photos. It's like night vision. All you need to do is hold the phone steady or use a tripod. Secondly, Hype Relapse or RLapse for video. It allows for stable video. I own several point-and-shoots, but iPhone seems to dominate right now.
Well, we have a whole spectrum of, this is why it's so confusing, of photography right now. Back in the old days of film, you know, you had the people with the Instamatic cartridge cameras and the people with the Nikons and the people with the little point-and-shoot 35s and other things in between. Same thing is going on now. There's nothing wrong with using a phone, and the phones have done real well. The only time you got to understand the limitations of the piece of gear that you're using. If you're going to try to, you know, photograph those eagle shots with an iPhone, chances are it's not going to work. We get people on some of these groups that I look at. They go, "What's the best camera to buy?" And they don't say what they want to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really the options are out there like a smorgasbord right now, and the prices can range from, you know, a couple hundred dollars. I mean, I've got a Sony CyberShot. I think I paid $160 for it. That continues to astound me at how good it is. And then there's the other ones that are $899 and $1,600 and, you know, things like that and further up. I'm a little bit leery of spending that much money for a camera because a couple of years from now, something far better will be out there. But I guess if you're going to enjoy it and use it, maybe it's a good investment.
Maybe it is. Cheryl in Spring Grove, Minnesota up next. Hi, Cheryl.
Hello. Oops. Hi, Larry.
Hi.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. I just had a question on shooting nighttime football games. I use a Canon 60D with a Canon 70 to 200 millimeter lens with the
f/2.8. Mm-hmm.
And
are you shooting the Spring Grove Lions?
I am too.
I don't know if you. I live in Spring Grove. That's why I'm saying that.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I recognize your name when they announced it on the radio.
Yeah, yeah. You know, anytime you're shooting sports, and especially in low light, it is troublesome. Your best bet, without buying a terribly expensive lens, is to kick the ISO up as high as you think is good enough for your images, maybe all the way up, and set the lens for aperture priority, where you set the lens opening and the camera picks the shutter speed. And this way, okay, with the lens as big as it'll be and the sensitivity as high as it'll get, it'll pick the highest shutter speed possible. And that probably is your best bet at this point.
Okay, because I had someone suggested to me at one point to use the TV mode on the camera.
That's time value, where you set the shutter speed and the camera sets the lens opening. You could try that, and if you get good enough light, but see, if you run into a darker area, that lens is only going to open up so far. So I would try it both ways and see what you come up with. Depends how good the outdoor lights are in Spring Grove. They're pretty bright. I can see them from my house.
Yeah, they're not too bad, but I know I end up fixing all my pictures because they're too dark, so I'm always editing every picture.
Yeah, I would try using the highest ISO you can get, because you can always clean up the noise a little bit with software, because you really got to end up with a shutter speed that's pretty high to stop the action. That's the key to the whole sports thing. This is why you see these real sports photographers with the $3,000 lenses the size of megaphones.
Oh, yeah.
There you go, Cheryl. Thanks.
Sounds good. Thank you.
And you might want to consider Jack's free.
Yeah, you're only 40 minutes from the Shrine. Just go there on come on over on Saturday the 25th, begins at 10 o'clock in the morning, and no charge for it. And Bob Metcalf, who's a professional photographer that I work and teach with, and I will be there to answer your questions. Bring your camera, bring your manual. Make sure you fully charge your batteries. And bring some sample photos, if you have some, or on a laptop, or whatever the case may be. It's a very casual day. We'll be giving some talks, but we strongly suspect we're going to break into small groups and just help you out. That's the whole thing.
And where again is it?
Well, the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe is 103 acres on the south side of La Crosse, Wisconsin. You can go to guadalupeshrine.org to get directions to it.
Let's turn to Jeff in La Crosse next. Hi, Jeff.
Hello. I'm calling to find out. I've been having a hard time getting some recommendations for a high-end pocket camera. I've had a lot of problems with the style of lens cap or lens protector that's the shutter kind, because I carry my camera all the time with me in my pants pocket, and the debris in the pocket, the dust and so on, gets caught in there and jams it up, and then I send the camera in, and if it's under warranty, no problem, although then it's out of my use for a while. But yeah. Usually after it happens again and right after the camera's out of warranty, and I've got about a half a dozen of those cameras laying around here that are useless now. And I do have a Canon G1X that has the old-fashioned clip-on cap, but I like to have a second backup camera when I go traveling, and I can't find one.
You might want to consider one. I think Panasonic makes a couple of weatherproof cameras that are sealed, so you couldn't, the dirt and grime would not get into the camera. That would be my only suggestion. They do make a bunch of nice little, very easy to open zippered pouches that you can buy for very little money now, and that may be your best choice, because really, pants pockets are not the greatest places for cameras. I hate to say it, but I understand the need to have it with you all the time. But you may want to have something where it takes you an extra couple seconds to get it out of the pouch, and that may save you a bunch of money in the long run.
Yeah.
Other than that, a weatherproof camera you can rinse off would be your next best bet.
Yeah.
Do any of those give you all the control that you do on, like, something on the G1X?
Yeah, I think so. I'm sure if you hunt around, maybe even Canon has one. But I know that Panasonic does. I suspect Samsung has one. There's a lot of weatherproofing of cameras being done now because people are using them in more adventurous ways. So just look for weatherproof cameras, and I bet you'll find something.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, sure, thanks for calling. And Dick in Minong, your turn. Hi, Dick.
Hi. I'd like your guest comments on shutter delay on these mirrorless cameras. I mean, I went back. I've got a couple of digitals, and I started out with the typical digital with the screen on the back, and went away from them and went to the SLR digital because a lot of what I shoot, I want almost an instantaneous response, and I know that the shutter delay has been dropping on mirrorless cameras, but just in general, is there one that are we getting to the point where mirrorless cameras are going to have shorter delay, shutter delay than even an SLR does?
Yeah, I think so, and also their burst rates are phenomenal. I had some lady come in with a $150 Fuji that looked kind of like an SLR but only had a screen on the back. Now, part of the delay is the focusing mechanism. You know, and in low light, they'll focus more slowly than in bright light. And so you may want to look at the focusing response in any reviews that you look at. But these days, when you press that shutter, it locks in pretty quick. And if you're going to take a burst, these mirrorless cameras, even the least expensive ones like that Fuji, just blew the digital SLRs out of the water. I mean, she took like 60 shots before she could let go of the shutter. there's no mirror going up and down. See, that's
yeah.
The trick. And this is getting to be really, really something. And also, they now have a deal where they could take a burst of pictures and combine them to give you a longer dynamic range. So there's lots of stuff going on when that mirror is removed. But also, how quickly it focuses may be also a determining thing for what you're looking for. So I would, when you're looking at the reviews online or wherever, take a look and see if they comment on how fast it focuses. And that's got a function of maybe what a large aperture the lens has, too, as well.
Yeah, good points. Thanks again, Dick, for calling. And Jack, thank you. Always a pleasure. Thanks so much for being with us. I hope we can do this again.
Oh, anytime you want, Larry. I'm always happy to be chatting with you. And I'm always keeping up with this stuff, or trying to anyway. But I'll tell you, right at this moment, we are in it's changing fast.
High change.
Oh, man, it is just changing fast. So if you're out there listening and you're confused about cameras, you're not alone.
Yeah, you're right. And go to acpress.com. You'll learn some more and find out some more about Jack's book and his workshops. Thanks again, Jack.
Take care now, right?
Bye-bye. Jack Socha. Oh, it's always fun talking with him about photos, birds, and flowers, getting those shots out there now. But, you might also want to think about rhubarb or asparagus or ramps, maybe taking pictures of them or maybe eating them. That's coming up next. We're going to talk about early spring produce with Terry Milligan, chef and culinary instructor. She and her husband own and operate the Inn at Christopher's in Sister Bay, staff writer for Edible Door, and wonderful guest. Coming up next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.